Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and it doesn't matter what I say right here because they can't hear me. My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
I got about every third word of that. It's we're working through some technology and we're gonna try to make it happen. We gotta do a show, man. So here we are. Working through bad bandwidth and whatever else.
I hate technology. I hate it.
I do too. It's the worst. Technology is miserable. We were joking before hitting record that I'm pretty sure I know what Jamie's going to say anyway, because we've been doing this so long. And so we may be having two totally different conversations during this show, but we're gonna persevere nonetheless.
I'm calling my internet people tonight. Like, this is going to be fixed after the show.
It's working right now, so we can hope. See what happens.
Yeah, let me just put it to you this way. If you pray out there, start praying right now.
Yeah, this could be a fairly miserable show if things don't get better, but we're going to try. So, that being said, we're going to talk about Red Dead on this show. I don't know what else we're going to talk about. We've got news. Go by the website, gaminguncensored.com. There's show notes there. That's a lot of them have to do with Red Dead, honestly. And some other stuff that we may or may not get to, including the PlayStation Classic. We know all the games that are going to come at launch with it now. A couple of cool fan-made games. And so if we don't get to that stuff, you can find it all at gaminguncensored.com under the show notes. But I imagine we're going to spend a pretty good chunk of time on Red Dead.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I'm going to say this, and I don't know how much you're going to hear, but I'm going to say that I should be playing lots of games right now. I have enough games in my gaming library to play games every day for the rest of my life and not finish them all. But here's the problem. I don't want to play any of them because all I want to see is more Red Dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
hear you 100%, and it's all I want to. It's not all I want to play, and this is the thing: is I'm so torn. We'll talk some about Assassin's Creed as well, because I'm still playing Assassin's Creed, and I love it. It's fantastic, and so now I'm so torn in my time. Luckily, Assassin's Creed being I'm still playing it via Project Stream, and it's working great. Being in browser actually like gives me a little bit more flexibility with that one, and so I can more easily play that. While I'm taking, a 5 or 10 minute break from work or something like that, whereas picking up Red Dead is a little bit more of a commitment. And so it actually kind of works out well. I just want time to play Red Dead more, and it's kind of killing me that I don't have more free time to put into that game, because that's where I want to put my time to.
Well, and I told you that I've been sending random texts throughout the week.
Right.
And one of the things that I said is that it's Oregon Trail meets Dragon Age, and the Oregon Trail aspect of it is what is really tripping me.
Yeah,
because like that's the part of it that my brain is like, "Woo, yes, more, please," Because where I left off, you're hunting a bear.
Yes.
A 1,000-pound bear.
I have to, I'll share a funny story, and then we'll take a little break from Red Dead, and we'll come back to Red Dead really quick. But while I was playing that section of hunting the bear, the legendary bear, that's a pretty early quest in the game, our boy Cabbage hopped onto the live stream while I was doing it, and was like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad that this is the moment that I, you know, like, logged on to watch you get to the bear. And so he got to witness in real time the whole encounter. Have you watched the encounter with the bear yet? Have you gotten to the point where the bear is actually there?
Well, let's put it this way. I saw Hosea run away, right? Like, I got to that point, and he was like, I'm out, dude. Like, I'm going back to camp. I'm all good. I'm not scared. I'm just out. And, and like, the next part that I saw was you preparing to take on this bear again, and then my internet went to crap, and so I stopped watching. But yeah, I'm right before you take it on again.
Cool. Yeah, I you get the option of, like, do you want to go back to camp or do you want to go hunt it down? I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to go hunt down that bear. So it's kind of fun, the next part where I actually go hunt down the bear, which is good. So the Cabbage was pissed because apparently he got mauled by the bear the first time he encountered it. So that cracked me up and was a good time. So he got me all freaked out for it, though. I was, like, on edge because he was, like, commenting on the YouTube stream about, like, I hope you're ready for this or whatever. So, like, I knew, like, something was going to happen. And so I was a little more prepared than he probably was when he got to that moment in the game. But it's fantastic, and we'll talk about it more here in just a little bit. We do have to do a couple of things before that. One is we need to play a segment because we actually have several segments in the queue now, three or four. And so we've got one from our boy Jacob, who got a Star Trader a segment a month or two ago at this point. So he's got a follow-up that's more about Star Trader and then also talking about the Atari Jaguar, which is super cool. And so we will listen to Jacob talk about the Atari Jaguar. We'll come back and talk about the Atari Jaguar a little bit, and then we'll probably spend the rest of the show talking Red Dead. So prepare yourselves. For right now, here is Jacob.
Good afternoon, Gaming Uncensored. Jamie, Tommy, hope you guys are doing well. This is Jacob from Virginia, hitting y'all back up. Thanks for playing my first segment. Glad you guys liked or thought enough of it to pick up Star Traders. So I'll start this out. I've still been playing Star Traders, has been my big thing. I'm about 30, 40 hours into it now, still enjoying it, having a great time. I don't think I mentioned on the first segment that I don't turn the sound on this game. I have, like, Pandora playing in the background, or as you guys call it, the old man album time. So lately it's been a lot of flying through space, destroying pirates while listening to Freebird in the background. Or my old man album of the week has been Lynyrd Skynyrd's 20 album. May not have ever heard of it. You can win a lot of money on bar bets by betting people they can't name a song off of it. And they could name 20 Lynyrd Skynyrd songs, and I guarantee you it would not be one of the ones on that album. Should give it a listen if you ever get a chance. Jamie, if you're having trouble playing with it, I would definitely use that auto level up feature, man, especially for the first five or six levels as you get into the game. The real important thing is with your captains. You want to make sure that you're giving them all a good variety of specializations. So you're going to need a mechanic, you're going to need engine ops, you're going to want gunners. So make sure you have all your captains set up in a wide variety of jobs, because that will open up more talents and abilities further on down the line that'll help keep everyone alive in space, help you with those things, those challenges. Like you said, that little screen on your right that'll pop up, whether you're having an issue. My biggest issue was I didn't have enough. I had one doctor and no medical base, so I would occasionally run into problems with just someone getting sick on the ship and not being able to keep them well, or I'd be in a part of space where I couldn't find medical attention, or I'd pissed off too many of the clans near me, so they wouldn't let me use their doctor. So I would use that auto level up feature, and like I said, just pick a wide variety of things. I went heavy on gunners so that I've got an offensive ship, and you will need at least one of those blade masters and a pistol person for your crew combat situations. If you ever go down to a planet, something happens, you will go into a crew combat versus space combat. The techniques with that are a little bit different, and it's hard to have your team be all one way and not the other. So my crew combat is a little weak because my space combat is set up to be so strong. Anyway, best of luck. I think you'll have fun with that. Keep on sticking with it. I know you guys have a backlog of games, so I did pick up one other game on Steam, Into the Breach, and I've been playing with that for a little bit. It's more of a strategy technique kind of a game. I call it space chess. It's almost like a mech warrior sort of a thing, but I'll save the full review for that for next time, as I'm still enjoying playing through it and getting a feel for it. But I had a question for you guys, because I noticed I heard a lot of talking about the retro gaming, all these small new NES or retro PlayStation thing coming out preloaded with games. You know, they seem to be real popular. The companies are making a ton of money on them, but I thought I'd ask you guys about one of my favorite retro systems that nobody really remembers, was the Jaguar. I wound up getting like some cash for my birthday one year and got my mom to take me up to the mall. And the store at the time was called Babbage's, which was like a weird pre-version of Electronics Boutique, which was before GameStop. You know, there were all these little weird small chains of game stores before it just turned into GameStop. But went in there and they had like a used section, which was real kind of unheard of at that time, I think, to have all these great older used games set up. They were one of those first places that started doing it. But they had a Jaguar system, which they stopped making and only made 12 games for, and all 12 games for like $50 or something. And at the time, I was like, oh, man, this is cool. It's the first 64-bit system. It's going to be incredible. I can't wait to go home and play this thing. And no one ever heard of it in the game. The games, most of them were crap. There were two that were really good that I recall playing a ton of. And I definitely got my money's worth out of that system in those 12 games until it died on me. The Jaguar had this crazy controller that had like a numerical keypad built into it. So it would have been great for a game like Star Traders, actually, just to have so many button options. But the game I played on, that was a tank game that was pretty good. You would basically go like a space tank. You would go to different planets and you would have a cannon on there and ride around and run into different things. Probably would not hold up at all, I'm sure. And especially the graphics compared to the later 64-bit systems like the N64 were nowhere close. But I think their big production game was an Alien versus Predator game. And I played a ton of this game. At the time, it was like, for me, the best first-person shooter I had come across. First thing to be in 64-bit. And the game was actually set up good. You were on a spaceship. Basically, you played one of the three races. You were either the Predator, you were the Alien, or you were the Marine. And, you know, each one came with their individual weapons and classes. And as a kid, this game would scare the crap out of me. Because if you were playing as the Marine, the Predator would hunt you. And you'd be down like a long hallway after having an encounter with some aliens and low on health. And the way they had the sound set up in that game, that stupid Predator churl thing would come behind you. That's horrible impersonation. But I can't do the Predator clicky clicky thing, but it's super, super scary and creepy, especially when I was a little kid playing this thing. So just curious if you guys ever even heard of the Jaguar or any of those other kind of random retro systems that fell by the wayside of time. Hope you guys are doing well. I'll hit you back up at some point with a segment on Into the Breach to actually break that thing down. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Have we heard of the Jaguar, he says. We are two old men, Jacob. I don't know how often we have to say that. We are old. We are old, and yes, we have heard of the Jaguar. There was a time in my life I really, really, really wanted one.
I did too. It was like when it came out, which was 92, 93, somewhere in there, right? It was like super high tech. It was like the best of the best. The fact that it was a 64-bit console and everything else. That was in the era of like, there were several consoles that kind of all came out around in the couple years around that. What was it? The 3DO, right?
Right.
Intellivision had one that we actually got some Intellivision news potentially that we'll get to at some point. There was another one. What was the 3DO was the one that was super expensive, right? There was one of them that was just crazy expensive.
TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah, the TurboGrafx-16. Man, yeah. That was kind of the era of like the unsuccessful console, like where there were a bunch of them, the Jaguar included, that were decent consoles that just didn't make it. Even the Sega Saturn's what, a couple years after that, and that's
right.
A great console that honestly didn't make it, you know, like it ended up failing and it was a solid console, and so yeah. I don't remember if I ever actually played a Jaguar. That's what I was trying to think of. I remember that crazy controller with the keypad on it, but I don't know that I ever actually played one. I remember seeing it, but I don't know that I played it.
I seem to remember, the Jaguar was Atari, right?
Yeah, yep.
They had a handheld that went with it called the Atari Lynx.
That's right.
I did not have
about
the,
that. That's right.
I did not have the Jaguar, but I had the handheld.
Nice.
I was the only kid in 100 miles that had that handheld. All I remember was that there was a Batman game on it that was pretty good that I enjoyed. I didn't have the console, but I had the handheld.
That's awesome. I think that like Doom and Wolfenstein maybe or something like that was on the Jaguar. Like they were trying to be like real mature at the
right.
time. Kind of like the Sega, because the Sega was kind of the Genesis was kind of the mature console and the Nintendo was kind of the more family friendly console. I feel like the Jaguar was trying to be that edgy mature console. I don't know. I was like 10 at the time, and so I do remember it. I remember it well, but
I was
that's
older,
a, that's some good
but
nostalgia.
Not much. I was older, but not much.
So, but yes, we definitely do remember the Jaguar. That's super cool. I like old school consoles. I know both of us were way into Sega CD. We picked that
yes,
one.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I did. I owned all of it. I even had the 32X.
Yeah. Yeah. That one also not a big success, but a bunch of those. That kind of like the transition from the Genesis, Super Nintendo into the N64 PlayStation era was just a mess. There was so much stuff.
Yes, it was.
There.
But man,
we don't
there was some
have that
there
anymore.
Was some good software. There definitely was.
Yeah, absolutely true. So, thank you, Jacob. Good stuff. And look forward to hearing more from you. And like now, you're legit like a regular contributor. So you got to keep sending these segments in.
Absolutely, we gotta have more. And y'all
absolutely
know how to do it. Send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. I heard you. That was good. That would have been a sad moment for me not to hear you.
Awesome!
It's so laggy, though. This is miserable.
This is,
but we're going to persevere.
This is the worst podcast ever!
It's just terrible. So, really quick, let me mention our Patreon guys. Thank you for supporting this mess. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. As always, we appreciate it a ton. Go by gaminguncensored.com and click that Become a Patron link to send us money so we can make more crappy podcasts. or try to get Jamie better internet or whatever. I don't know what's going on. Your internet speed seemed fine. Whatever. Something sucks and we're going to work through it. So, but honestly, thank you guys. We really do appreciate it. Again, go by gaminguncensored.com and support us on Patreon. If you would like to, we would appreciate it. All that said, should we talk about some games?
Yes. Let's do that.
Let me, if you don't mind, I'm going to start by talking about Assassin's Creed just a little bit because I don't want it to get lost because I'm actually really loving this game and Red Dead's just going to take over. But Assassin's Creed Odyssey is ridiculously good. It is just a really, really fun game. It feels like they finally like figured out Assassin's Creed. Like it's very open world. It's this massive world. Ancient Greece is such a cool setting for it. But they've executed it really well where I think Assassin's Creed, I was honest about this at E3. I just wasn't super pumped about Odyssey because I'd been so burned by Assassin's Creed that they just had put out game after game after game that I'd lost touch with it. They weren't that fun to me anymore. And so, I was a little hesitant, but I played Origin because it came up on sale on Steam and really enjoyed that. Odyssey is so similar to Origin. They kind of just took that same model and built upon it where they're not doing some of the things that like used to, they sold Assassin's Creed on. Like I remember Assassin's Creed 2 or whatever it was, where they're really into like the crowd dynamic, how you could like weave through the crowd and you could like put hands on people's shoulders and move them out of the way. That stuff's gone. Like I'm running a full sprint in this game almost always. Like some of the stuff like they used to try to make cool that just never really landed, they've just given up on. They've just made this big open world game that still has like the Assassin's Creed type assassinations, but also like plays similar to Far Cry to me in a lot of ways. And you know how much I love Far Cry. It's kind of like Assassin's Creed meets Far Cry in that so much of the gameplay is centered around like these outpost liberation kind of tasks that you do where you just gotta go kill everybody. But because it's Assassin's Creed, like it's built around the kind of stealthiness of going around and sneaking around and killing everybody. The story's cheesy but fun. It's entertaining. It's super like campy, but it's good. I mean, I'm into it, and so I care. But the gameplay just really shines. The gameplay is so good, and that's not something I anticipated saying about an Assassin's Creed game, maybe ever again. But they figured it out, and they've done something that's super cool. And so now I'm like pumped to see what they do next. I want to see what the next place they go is, what the next time period they go is, because now they're executing well again. And we'll probably put out a game every year and make it suck again. But for right now, Assassin's Creed, I feel like, is kind of at its peak, and that's a good thing.
How much do you think you have left?
So I think you asked me, how much time do I have in it? Is that what you said?
How much do you think you have left?
Oh, so I'm level 17. It's got a lot of RPG elements, which I like. There's a whole leveling system and abilities and that kind of stuff. It's very gear heavy. So those are all fun things that are also different than previous Assassin's Creeds in a lot of ways. So I'm level 17 or 18, I think. There's what appears to be in-game stuff is like level 40-ish. And so maybe about halfway at this point. And so I don't know how much time I put into it. There's no telling. But I mean, I've been playing it for a couple of weeks, and probably about halfway through the game. And so it's not huge as far as time goes, but there's a, like, I've done a lot of just exploring and side quests and going to places that the main story wasn't leading me to. And so I feel like I've gotten to see a lot of the world with it, in that way.
That sounds really cool. I'm glad you're playing it. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And I wish I could get into it. I really do. But I really don't care about anything but Red Dead at this point.
So let's talk about Red Dead.
Yeah, and all I can say is I don't know. I was not expecting this. I was not expecting this. We love Rockstar. We love what they do. We know they do good stuff. I should have been expecting this. I was not expecting this. And it's all about the Oregon Trail stuff to me that is getting me. It's the wheel falling off the wagon. Like when that happened, I flipped out. Like I lost my mind.
That was fun. I agree 100%. I'll say this, and this is maybe going to be a little bit controversial. I was not a big fan of the beginning of the game. I thought that they started that game out really poorly, for a couple of reasons. One, you start out like in the mountains in like this blowing snowstorm, and part of the awesomeness of Red Dead 2 is like how big and beautiful this world is, and you see none of that at the beginning of the game. Like it doesn't look very good when you start out because it's blowing snow everywhere, and so everything's just white. And so it doesn't look super pretty for the first hour or so of the game. And this is going to be an ongoing complaint, but I'm getting more used to it, and so it's less of an issue than it was at the start. But the controls are clunky. It's just, like, it's so heavy. Like, everything is so deliberate, which in a way is what makes the game brilliant. But for the control scheme, like, you get used to it. And so, like I said, this isn't me saying I'm think it's great now. I think I can play it now. But for the first hour or so of the game, like, I was just having the hardest time of getting Arthur to go. Like, just walk where I want him to walk. And I play video games all the time. And I've played every Rockstar game, you know, like, it's not a, like, oh, this is how every Grand Theft Auto game was as well. Like, there's just something about Red Dead 2 that they deliberately made it heavy and slow, and I get why. Like, I understand the kind of creative approach to that. But especially with jumping back and forth between that and Assassin's Creed, which Assassin's Creed is so fast, like, it's running and all this parkour stuff. And Red Dead is the exact opposite of that, and it just felt so heavy. And with the heaviness and how not pretty the game is at the start, like, I was ready to go, this is going to be a bummer. Like, this is going to be a game that I was more hyped for than it's actually going to be good. That changes once, like, you get out of the mountains, you get to your camp, and you start getting into the open world stuff and can just go explore and see the world. Like, I'm totally into it now. Like, I love the open world aspect of it. I have no idea what I'm doing in the game. Like, I don't have any kind of, like, story goals. It's just living in that world. The first hour just holds your hand so much. You don't have any freedom to go do stuff. It's trying to teach you all the mechanics of the game, which I get. But it just, yeah, you got to get through that opening kind of sequence to really get to the game.
Well, and I feel really bad because you're not going to hear anything that I say right here. And we really need to have a discussion. So I feel awful. But the controls are horrible. The controls are just awful. And I've heard multiple people, including Cabbage, say, well, that's Rockstar. It's okay. No, it's not. They're awful. They're horrible.
Yeah.
And I am not a fan at all, and I don't even have the controller in my hand. I mean, it just looks bad. It just it does not look good at all.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and they shouldn't get a pass just because it's Rockstar. That's the one. Like, go to Metacritic, and it's fascinating because all the critic reviews are super high. Obviously, it's got a 97 on Metacritic right now, and well deserved. There was a point that I was like, I don't know if Red Dead or God of War or Assassin's Creed is going to be my game of the year. Okay, I'm past that point. It's going to be Red Dead. Like, Red Dead's going to be the best game of the year. Like, I don't have any doubts about that now. But it took me a little bit to get there because of that one issue. And so if you go look at the user reviews on Assassin's Creed, you will see that pop up over and over and over. And you just, like, you kind of have to deal with it. And like I said, I've gotten more used to it, and it's feeling better now. And this is the thing, and I'm trying to remember. I think it was Samuel on Facebook mentioned this, that, like, it's a slow burn. And you have to embrace that going in. If you're not interested in a slow burn game, this is not the game for you, because it is incredibly deliberate. Like, every part of it, the controls included, are just so deliberate. It wants you to be in every moment of this game. It doesn't want you to miss any of the little details that they put so much work into, which is super obvious. They want you to catch as many of these little details as possible. And so, thus, the game is just super heavy, is super slow, is super deliberate. And like I said, once you get past the point that it's holding your hand and making you go on rails, essentially, it's brilliant in that way. Like,
look, I'm fine with slow. I'm this is the, for me, the slow is good because I feel like I'm walking through a Western. But the clunky controls for me, at least at the beginning, like, I could see it on the screen, and I texted you, like, these controls are awful. Yeah. They're horrible. I don't even know how you ever know what you're shooting at. Like, I have no idea. Because I can't tell where you're aiming or where the bullet's going. Like, I have no idea how you do that. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. And it has a kind of a lock-on method. So when you, like, aim, it will automatically target, if you're in the vicinity of a person, it'll like target their chest, and then you can kind of push up slightly on the right stick, and you can try to get a headshot. And like at first, I was like, why in the world did they do that? And then once you start playing it, you're like, oh, I get why they did that, because it just controls really bad. I did eventually. I went in and tweaked the I set the sensitivity up as high as I could on the stick controls, and that's helped some. Like, I feel a little bit better with it after I did that. But I think that's essential. Go in and turn that sensitivity way up. It's still going to feel really heavy and slow, even with that sensitivity really high. But that lock-on mechanic with the gunplay is necessary, and then using the Deadeye ability is also going to be a big deal, because otherwise you're going to get shot a lot because it's hard to shoot back.
I love how getting drunk increases your Deadeye skill. Yeah. I think that's awesome. Yeah, it's like drink some alcohol and your Deadeye will be better.
Yeah, like, your health core goes down, but your ability to aim for some reason is enhanced. So there you go. It does use this weird core system that, like, your health and your stamina and your Deadeye ability have, like, these cores, and then they also have values. And so the amount of core value you have will affect how, like, quickly your health drains or regenerates or whatever, and you can restore all those by, like, sleeping or by eating. And so it has this kind of base level survival element to it. It's not like a hardcore survival game, but it does have some of those survival mechanics to it, which is kind of cool. It's also a little tedious. It's kind of Fallout itemizing a lot of different stuff, and so you're just carrying around a bunch of, like, random cans of, like, preserved peaches or whatever, so that you have stuff to eat, and you have limited inventory space, and so once you fill up it's full. I haven't had any issues with that yet. I've had issues with it being full. I haven't had issues of needing more stuff after it's full.
But they do a lot
of little things like that are very detail oriented.
That part of it I kind of like, because you're in the Wild West, and that's things that you have to do. You have to wear the appropriate gear. You have to eat food. You have to sleep. You have to do all of that. And I'm okay with that. My problem is that none of that is obvious on the HUD. The way that they did the HUD is something that I struggle with, because I understand why they did it. They wanted a minimal HUD so that you could look at the world. But when you interact with something, I have no idea what you're doing or how you're doing it, because I can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, like, it is really minimal.
It's not obvious at all.
Yeah, and like you said, it makes perfect sense why they do that. They want you to be immersed as much as possible. I made, like, the radar. You can set it to different sizes. I made it as big as possible, and it's still not huge by any means. Like, they really want you immersed in this thing. That's everything they're doing in the game is for that end. And to be fair, it works. I'm totally immersed in the game. Like, it has sucked me in, and, like, it's the game I'm thinking about when I'm not playing games right now, you know, like, in a way that other games haven't had me interested, honestly, since Zelda. This is the kind of, to me, like, just some of the things you just said in my head was like, oh my goodness, this is like mature Breath of the Wild in a lot of ways, because it has a lot of the same kind of mechanics to it. It's slow, whereas Breath of the Wild moved a lot smoother. But the kind of eating and cooking mechanic to it, the exploration in the world, Like it has these things, even like upkeep of weapons, you know, like that you have to clean your guns. You could have really upkeep weapons in Breath of the Wild, but it still had this weapon degradation system. Like it has a lot of things that Breath of the Wild did that I loved, that is doing it now with like a Rockstar twist. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm into this, you know, like I can definitely dive into this world. And one of those things is I don't know what the story is, you know, and I don't really care. Like, well, I know insofar as you're part of this gang and like y'all are trying to survive and do stuff, but like, I don't know what like Arthur's end goal is. I don't know what I'm trying to accomplish here. Like, I'm just living in this world.
Well, and I think that is part of the story. I think that's part of the deal. I think you're going to go for another 5 hours before you know any of that at all.
Yeah.
Because I got to be honest, I feel like somebody needs to shoot Dutch in the head. Like, I'm so tired of Dutch. Like, I am over Dutch. And I told you that I was not a fan of the acting when it started. And Arthur is growing on me. Like, I hated Arthur at the beginning. But he's growing on me because at the beginning, he was just like this dude that was like, yeah, boss, whatever you want, boss, or whatever, let's do that.
Yeah.
And now as you're moving forward, he's kind of becoming his own guy, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Arthur is not the most likable character. But once you get control and start to get exploring, you get to start putting kind of your own twist on him. When you get to choose how you approach, so a big part of the game is like the dynamic dialogue system and how you can choose to do different things in the world. And so something you'll see after the encounter with the bear, from that point, I just head back to camp. And one of the things that you texted me a couple of days ago was like, I don't want to fast travel. And I agree with that completely. Like the joy of the world is just kind of getting from point A to point B and seeing what happens along the way. And so like after dealing with the bear, I'm like, okay, I need to go back to camp, but I'm a long ways from camp. And so like, saddle up, let's go, you know? And so you just start riding. And there's three or four things, you know, just along the way getting back to camp that I run into. There's a woman that a horse fell on her. And so you go and help her out from underneath this horse that just like keeled over and is laying on top of her. I found a dominoes game. And so I just sat down and played dominoes for a while and won some money playing dominoes, which was super cool. There was a prisoner on the back of a carriage, and like he's like, I'm innocent, help me. And so you can choose whether or not you want to like free him and shoot the cops, or if you want to just let him go or whatever. And it's just that kind of stuff. That none of that has anything to do with the storyline of the game, but yet is all deep, interesting story that you're finding these characters or you're interacting with these characters in this world that's so living and breathing and just,
you know, what it
so
is
rich.
It's like The Witcher 3
in some ways, but I would even make an argument that this world is deeper. Like it, I'm more enthralled in this world. Like The Witcher 3, even though it was open world and you felt you had a lot of freedom, like I still kind of always knew where I was going and what I was doing. Like if I want to follow the main storyline right now in Red Dead, I don't even really know where to go. Like I don't know like the quests I'm taking, if they're like main storyline or side quests, or even if there is such a thing in this game, you know, like I don't know if there's a differentiation, which to be fair is something that Rockstar does. Grand Theft Auto 5 was very much the same way. Like you're doing a lot of different story elements, but you never really know if you're like on the main story path. And that's kind of a brilliant way to tell a story, because it's so immersive without holding your hand through it. And so like in The Witcher 3, I always knew kind of what my goal was or kind of what I was trying to accomplish. This world, I don't. And it's awesome. Like I love it. And I'm a goal oriented person. Like I like video games that give me a pretty set objective. I don't want one in this game. I just want to live in this world. And eventually I may get tired of that, but not yet.
I think you're a long way from getting tired of that, because like we went through the thing where you're going across the stream and the wheel falls off, right? And then you get into town and Jose is like, let's go hunt a bear, right? And so you get up on this bear and it's this 1,000-pound bear and it's so big that the guy that you're with freaks out and runs away. Like, you know there's going to be 8 zillion other things that pop up. Yep. That are just little things that you get to go and do that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's going to keep it engaging. That's what's going to keep you in the world. And I just, like, I'm so ready to get back into the game. I haven't got a chance to play it today, and it's kind of killing me, you know? Like, I just don't have much time to play video games, period, right now. And so, like, this is the first game in a while that I just want to really dive into and, like, do nothing else except play this game for hours on end. I'm not going to get a chance to do that, but that's what I want to do. Like, that's where Red Dead has me right now.
Well, can I be honest with you? We had this discussion 2 weeks ago. I'm coming to your house in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? And we said that Spider-Man was going to be the road trip game. And we're going to play Spider-Man. But you have Red Dead in your house. Like, yeah. Before I leave, I'm going to make sure that I'm caught up. Okay? Yeah. And so that way, when we get there, we have a choice of what do we play.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's a toss-up.
It is, and I would lean towards Red Dead at this point because we already are in it. And like I said, that world is so engrossing. Like, I don't know if I'd enjoy Spider-Man as much because my head would be in Red Dead, you know, like my head would be like, oh, this is great, but why aren't we playing Red Dead? Like, yeah, maybe I'll get a little bit more tired of it. But honestly, this is what Rockstar does so well, because I felt this way about Grand Theft Auto V when it came out, that it just owned me, that I got so engulfed in that game. And part of the brilliance of a Grand Theft Auto game, very much the same way, is just going and getting lost and just running into different things. But Red Dead does it way better, you know. Like, the world is just, for me at least, more interesting than a Grand Theft Auto game. A Grand Theft Auto game, in a lot of ways, is too dense. This is not too dense. Like, this gives you the space to do the cool stuff that you kind of run into. It's amazing in that way. It's just Rockstar does video games differently than anybody else, and it's great. Like, it shows here.
Imagine this. Red Dead with alcohol. Red Dead with lots and lots of bourbon.
Yeah. There's lots and lots of bourbon in Red Dead, so it only makes sense. So that's very possibly on the horizon. So but we're still, I mean, just a handful hours into the game, and so we haven't even scratched the surface yet. I know, like, the one thing I'm really curious about, they've done a really good job of kind of teasing, is what in the world happened at Blackwater? You know, like, this is the one little bit of storyline that they keep dropping over and over and over. Like, there's a big story there, and we don't know what it is yet, and so I'm curious. I want to see where that's going, and ultimately, whatever the main story is going to apparently revolve around that. But I haven't done much with it yet. I went and did a bounty, and that was really fun to chase a guy after he jumped into a river and lasso him out of the river. You know, it's just stupid stuff like that that's so fun in this game. It's a blast.
You know what it is? It's like when we're growing up, and like, we grew up around cowboys and cattle and all that.
Yeah,
this is all the fun parts of that.
Yes. That's it is so much is. All the fun parts of that. Like, because you're absolutely right. We grew up in Western culture for sure. Like, that was our childhoods and still a big part of our lives. I mentioned it before. My father-in-law is a cattle rancher. Like, this is the world that we still work around. It feels so authentic to that in so many ways. Even like going into the general store, like, it feels like the general store that's at my local museum in the town I grew up in, you know, like that kind of recreation of a general. I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally familiar. Like, this little Western town feels like, you know, the kind of idealized little Western town that is the world that we grew up in. And so there is something I think special about that for us specifically, that I think a lot of people who are playing Red Dead, most people that are playing Red Dead probably don't have quite that personal of a connection. But the game is a massive success. No surprise there. Getting into show notes, actually, believe it or not, this is in the show notes. But one of the bits of show note news this week is Red Dead Redemption 2, quote, has achieved the single best opening weekend in the history of entertainment. Not in the history of video games, in the history of entertainment. With over $725 million of retail sales in 3 days. The only other game that's done better in its first 3 days was Grand Theft Auto 5. So way to go just on pure profit, Rockstar.
Can we get some of that money, please?
No joke. Now,
If I could have one-tenth of that money, my internet wouldn't suck.
The show would be so much easier. Yes, that's fair. I was going to say something now. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure it was totally insightful. But it's just insane. Oh, what I was going to say is all these stories that we heard right before the launch of Red Dead about all the extra hours that people put in working 60, 80-hour weeks, that kind of stuff. One of the things, like, there was a great Kotaku piece on this about just kind of the culture of Rockstar, which is fascinating. I don't have that in show notes. I might put it in there. Go read that story because it's really interesting, and you'll probably have kind of a love-hate relationship with it because it produces amazingly great game, but it also seems like it's probably pretty hard on the people that work there sometimes. But one of the things it talked about, which when I read the story before I played the game, I was like, I don't really get this, is that deep into the development process of the game, they decided that they wanted all the cinematics to be letterboxed, to have the black letterbox at the top and the bottom of the screen. And it talked about how, like, that was really a huge task to go back through the game and redo all the cinematics so that they were letterboxed. And in my head, I'm like, how hard is that? You just slap a couple of black bars over the top and bottom. But when you play the game, you get it because it's incredibly cinematic and it cuts to these cinematic views all the time. And, like, they're super dynamic. It's not just stick a black bar at the top and bottom of the screen, but, like, it fades into these cinematics. And so it talked about how it took weeks and weeks for them just to go back and convert these cinematics to have this feel to it. When you play the game, that's one of the cool parts, is when it kind of zooms into this cinematic feel. Like, it's a little detail of the game that's a really big deal that they obviously put a lot of time in to implement. And there's a billion of those things in this game that you understand how they were spending 80-hour weeks before this game launched trying to get all these little details implemented and working well. And so far, they're brilliantly implemented and working well. It's just one of the most polished games kind of out of the box that I've played in forever.
Well, and let me just mention this. Part of the thing that bugs me, because I'm not sitting there with you watching you play it, is I can't really tell when you're controlling it and when you're not. Like, yeah. There's some times that it's very, very obvious that you're controlling it, but when you get on the horse and it is fading in and out of those cinematics, I'm sitting here saying to myself, does he have control of that, or is it just doing that? Because can't tell.
Yeah.
You can't tell.
Sometimes playing it, I'm like, do I have control of this right now, or is it doing this on its own? Because it's hard to tell. Like, it's not always easy. And then, like, I run into somebody on my horse, and then I'm like, oh, yep, I got control. You know, like, I bump somebody, which is another detail of the game, is all the, like, collision physics that while you're on your horse, I've knocked myself off my horse a couple of times because you run into something, and you just go flying over the top of your horse, which is realistic. That would be what happens in real life. If you're on a horse and run into something, you're going to go over the top of the horse. And so it definitely has all those little things to it that can be frustrating at times. But then you're like, oh, wow, that's a good little detail. But yes, you're absolutely right. It's not always super obvious when you're in a cinematic and when you're actually controlling stuff. And there's this, like, constant cinematic mode that you can hold down the touch bar, whatever it's called, on the PlayStation 4 controller, and, like, while you're riding around in the world, you can make it go into, like, cinematic mode, so the camera's, like, sweeping around and you see all the vistas and mountains and all that kind of stuff. And it's cool, but like you end up running into stuff and you're like, oh, that sucks. So yeah, it's just the craziest game. It's fascinating.
It is. I really, really hope. I know we don't have time. I know that I have a huge backlog of games. Yes, Jacob, I know I need to play Star Traders. But I really, really, really hope that this is the next 60 hours of our lives. And yeah. And the way that I say that sounds insane, considering the fact that we've spent the last four shows talking about the fact that we don't have it.
Right.
I mean, and I'm like begging Rockstar, like, give me 60 hours, because I'll take it.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. It's going to take a long time to get through it, but it's a game like Breath of the Wild, which is the thing that this is closest to for me, that I want to see every bit of this world. Breath of the Wild, I want to see every bit of that world.
Me too! And you better hit record every time. Hit record every time.
I plan on it. There's no reason not to. It's super easy. Thank you, Sony. But like the scale of the world is it honestly, like, I looked this up. Like Assassin's Creed or Odyssey is about three times the size. The map is about three times bigger than the Red Dead 2 map is. Caveats. First of all, Assassin's Creed Origin has a lot of water. There's a lot of sea, even though the sea is dynamic space because you get on a boat and you can sail wherever you want. And so that's all interactive time, even that travel. You can fight pirates. You can go diving for shipwrecks. There's all kinds of good stuff still on the map, even though it's a bunch of water. But it's so fast, whereas this is so slow and deliberate. So even though the map is a significant bit smaller, it doesn't feel it because it's so deliberate. Again, it's that slow burn that the world just feels so big and so immersive because you have to be paying attention the whole time because it's so rich and so detailed. And so, yeah.
Do you feel like this is going to be playable at all on mouse and keyboard?
Playable, yes. I think it would work better than Grand Theft Auto does, because it's slow. That's, you know, like driving mechanics in Grand Theft Auto on mouse and keyboard are just miserably bad. But I think the horse mouse and keyboard mechanics could work okay because you can take it pretty slow. Even at a full gallop, it's still not moving super quick. Like it very early in the game, I was like, come on, horse, you're so slow. Like, move faster, man. But like, I appreciate that a little bit more now. Once you get into the world, you're like, oh, slow down, horse. I want to see all this stuff around there. So because of the kind of heaviness of it, I think it will translate better than other Rockstar games have. So by the way, another one of the show notes is it looks like there's a decent chance that it will be coming to PC maybe as early as next year. Which would be fantastic. It'd just be great. As many platforms as we can get Red Dead on, the better. But I think it could work. I don't know that it'd be great. But there's some things that would be really nice about it. Like some of the item stuff on a controller is just harder to access. If you had quick keys that you could assign weapons and provisions to and that kind of stuff, it'd work a little bit better than the kind of dial system that so many console games use to access weapons and items. It works. It's fine. It's just a little clunky. And items are so important. One more story. I just got story after story about this game. When encountering the bear, when like we set the bait for the bear to come and then you go hide behind the rock, I realized that I left my rifle on the horse. Like, I didn't bring my rifle with me. And so, like, I'm sitting there waiting for this bear to...
I saw that, and I was like, dude, get you don't have your rifle. Like, I'm yelling at the TV going, get you gun, man.
So I had to, like, call my horse, and I'm like, oh, crap, my horse is going to get eaten by this bear, you know? And so I'm, like, running over to the horse to, like, snatch my rifle off of it so I'm ready to shoot this bear that I'm thinking is going to show up at any second because Cabbage has me freaked out in my brain about this giant bear showing up. And so I'm like, got to get that rifle. And so it was this kind of cool, just dynamic moment in the game where, like, I could. Like, it's a game where, like, you think of, like, oh, I want to do this, and then you probably can. Like, it's a game that gives you a lot of freedom to do a lot of different things. So, like, I whistled and my horse came running. I ran over and met the horse and pulled the rifle off of it and swung around really quick, like, aimed just in case the bear had, like, snuck up on me while I was running over to the horse. And so, yeah, so many just little things like that that are going to be really, really great as we go forward.
I'm so excited, and I'm now sitting here wondering why we spent an hour to do this show.
Yeah, I know. We have to apologize because we've broken our weekly show pledge a little bit, and our weeks have stretched out into not quite 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks still, but definitely longer than a week. And so we're gonna try to rebound from that. We've been doing so good every week, and so we're now every week ish for the last month. But you're absolutely right, like, we could have played Red Dead for an hour, and now I'm kind of like, why didn't we do that? Because be into playing Red Dead. We need to do a show, so we'll do better, I promise. All that said, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, because we didn't get through stuff, including the list of PlayStation Classic games, the 20 preloaded games on the PlayStation Classic. Really quick, I'll mention Grand Theft Auto, the original one, is on there. Not Grand Theft Auto 3, but the top-down Grand Theft Auto, very first Grand Theft Auto game, which is cool. But maybe the one that's the biggest news is Metal Gear Solid is officially on the PlayStation Classic. And to me...
Dude, how? How?
What do you mean, how?
Dude, that thing was like four discs.
I know.
That's like, right. That's amazing.
But it was four CDs, so it's like, well, this thing's going to have a, you know, terabyte. No, it's not going to have a terabyte. But it'll have several gigs of solid-state memory or whatever built onto it. So, but to me, there were three games on the PlayStation that were essential. And this is personally, but those three games were Final Fantasy VII, Metal Gear Solid, and Golden. Not GoldenEye. What was the other one I was thinking of? I had one more. That was my essential game, so, and I lost it. But of the three, two of them are officially
Twisted
on here.
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal is on here as well. And so, like, it does a good job of getting those solid key PlayStation games. I'm still not interested in the thing. I just...
No.
They're so hideous. No. Metal Gear Solid, the original, looks so ugly. It's just ugly. The Twin Snakes remake of it was so much better, and I'd be way more interested in that on the PlayStation Classic. The games just look bad. They just look bad. They just haven't aged well, so... I'm not in any way interested in picking this thing up, but they do have the solid software as far as what the PlayStation era was, and so good for them.
I mean,
on that, I suppose.
I mean, if you want to give us one, we'll take it. So
yeah,
like,
I still think it'll be a big deal. I just, the nostalgia of it, I think people will eat it up. Just not for me, not for me.
No,
not for our boy
no.
Chris either, who commented over on Facebook about it. And so more good reasons to go over to Facebook. Facebook's been kind of hopping lately. So if you're not a part of the Gaming Uncensored Facebook page, you should do that, because there's a lot going on over there. That being said, go by the show notes. Do what?
Go ahead, sir.
Sorry. This show is so miserable. Freaking internet. Game releases. Red Dead came out. That's about it that really matters in the last week or so. So there's other game releases that you can see over at the show notes, gaminguncensored.com.
And I would like to say a lot more stuff, but I'm not going to, because he can't hear me.
Oh, like, so bad.
Like, I will promise you this. Whenever I get to his house, we're actually going to have a real discussion about Red Dead.
Yes. Yeah, we'll
like,
talk
that's
about it significantly
gonna happen.
More.
That's going to be on video. It's going to be behind us. We're going to show you key scenes that we love because we have saves. Like, we will do all of that when I'm at his house in a little under 2 weeks.
And don't have to rely on internet.
Yes, because the internet sucks. We will take your money because I need better internet. Somebody donate like 30 grand. I need 30 grand. Somebody donate 30 grand and I will throw in five because that's what it's going to take to get decent internet out here. I need $35,000. Somebody donate that. I'm begging because this is killing me.
Yeah. It's usually not this bad, thankfully, but for whatever reason tonight, it's just been miserable. So apologies for the totally stepping all over each other and everything else that just happened that you witnessed.
Yes.
But we did a show, and so that's good, right?
And with that being said, y'all know how everything else works, so I'm just going to say, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for another week, we're gaming uncensored, and we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.